The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Has been on a record-setting tear this season without sharing the ball with his fellow Splash brother Klay Thompson, seemingly setting records on the nightly. Well, his teammate Draymond Green has taken notice, saying Steph terrifies the league. And on that note, Max Kellerman, you know I love a good list on this show. NBA champion Kendrick Perkins back here with us, and he's got a list for us, his top five most terrifying players, and it's not even Halloween. What a treat. Kendrick Perkins, get him. The floor is yours.
Now, this doesn't mean the way
Molly
they look,
Max
right? Because then, Perk, you would be first on the list, looking like Sonny Liston with a beard over
there. Hey, Max, don't ruin my moment. Molly Max sit tight. Here go.
I
Big
will.
Perk, top five most terrifying list. Coming in at number five, we got the Big Philly, Joel Embiid, a guy that's averaging 29 points, 10 rebounds, shooting 50% from the field. I call him a 275-pound version of Hakeem Olajuwon. Coming in at number four, Big Jokic. Not only is he out here giving you 27 points a night, but he's giving you 10 rebounds. And guess what? He's dropping 8 dimes, one of the best passing bigs the game has ever seen. Matter of fact, Greg Popovich called him the modern-day Larry Bird. Coming in at number three, a guy from L.A., L.A.'s finest, the Brody, Russell Westbrook, Mr. Triple-Double himself, who is tearing the league up right now. One of the most polarizing figures the game has ever saw. At number one, at number two, the green-eyed assassin, light-skinned brother from the Bay Area, who's shooting from the parking lot right now. Give him a wiggle, Steph. He's on my number two. And at number one, the most prolific, efficient scorer of all time, Kevin Durant, two-time finals MVP, a walking bucket, a guy that has zero flaws offensively. That's Big Perk, top five most terrifying players in the NBA today.
I respect the list, and you're coming at it from the point of view of a player, and some of that is just a matchup. I got to guard this guy. Like, well, how do you do it? But I disagree with the list, Perk, and let me tell you why. In the modern game, even though Embiid and Jokic, I can't take exception. You can have them on. You are a big, so I get it. But if you're not the dude with the ball in his hand at the end of the game, and I know Jokic can bring the ball up and everything, he ain't a backcourt player, then you better have another dude on your team just as good as you who can do that. So it's tough for me to put a big there. It's tough for me to put Westbrook there because he doesn't shoot it or not very good at shooting it from distance. But I'll tell you who would be there. James Harden, who when last seen on a basketball court had as much control over the outcome of a game as anyone I have ever seen. I cannot believe the heights he rose to this year, but struggles in the playoffs has him five on my list, okay? Steph Curry is four. Steph is the scariest from distance, no doubt. But with the game on the line, actually, the scariest from distance is Damian Lillard, who has hit more clutch shots, almost no matter how you define clutch, since he entered the league than anyone else and can also shoot it from the parking lot. Number three is KD for all the reasons you went into. But Perk, number one is still LeBron James, who not only can do everything you want on a basketball court. I mean, you get on his free throw shooting, what, it's in the 70s? You're going to get on him? Okay. Yep. Not like in the 50s, not like Shaq at the free throw line or something. But not only that, just his presence on the court has you believing that somehow his team will figure it out. Both ends of the floor. He is still the scariest as of this moment in the imaginations and emotions of basketball fans, which is why you argued with me earlier when I said, hey, from the horse's mouth, LeBron said he's never going to be 100% again. You said, don't believe him.
Excuse me, one second. Hold on. Yeah, Perk, before you jump in here, because I got to ask Max a question here, because I feel like you just tried to cover your bases there with that little comment at the end. How could you argue the top of the show that he's on the decline and he's never going to be the same? At this moment, he is on the decline. But now you're saying he's the number one most terrifying player in the NBA. Isn't that a bit hypocritical?
Not even in the slightest, Molly, and I'll explain it to you.
Please do.
What's the adjective you used? Terrifying, right? What is terror about? What is scared? What is fear about? Is that about a reality or a perception? Now, the perception can be largely based on reality, but it's really about the way other people are reacting to it emotionally. And that is LeBron James number one still, as is evidenced by the fact that both you and Perk were so strenuously arguing against my point when all I was doing was quoting LeBron. But you still have it fixed in your head that he's still the best. If you have LeBron, you're going to win.
Max, I'm not even about to go there, but all me and Molly and I said was that you believe what LeBron said. All we said was that we didn't believe that.
Yeah.
And you took it to other heights and said that he's declining. But that's another story. Okay, I don't have a problem with Damian Lillard being on your list. It was hard for me to leave him off my list. But if I was talking about the now, because that's what the NBA is about, what have you done for me lately? Then I had to take Dame Dollar off the list because Portland hasn't lived up to expectations this season. All right? And when you talk about James Harden, I had to take him off the list because he missed so many games and he still hasn't came back. The same with LeBron James. But now when you disrespect Russell Westbrook and talk about his lack of shooting, I have a problem with, Max. And here it is. You're a boxing guy, right? And you're damn good at it, okay? You're a boxing analyst, and I love the way that you break down boxing. Max, tell me who is the most ferocious boxer of all time.
Well, you're going to say Mike Tyson, right?
Okay.
I called Westbrook Mike Tyson, you know, kind of mentality.
Okay, then. So if you're ferocious, that means that you're terrified because that means people are scared of you, okay? That's the first thing. Second thing is that you're going to stop disrespecting the bigs in today's game, okay? Joel Embiid and Jokic is not your typical bigs of the past, okay? These guys are generational talents, all right? When you talk about late-game situations and putting the ball in their hands, they don't need no one to put the ball in their hands because both of these guys' skill set, they're so physically talented and skilled that they could bring the ball up. They could set up the offense themselves. They could take you off the dribble. They could euro step you. They could one-leg fadeaway you. They got the complete package. So I don't look at them as your traditional center. So with you disrespecting my list, talking about Embiid and Jokic shouldn't be on there because the game has changed, no, they have changed with the game, and they have changed the position.
That's a fair point. Especially about Jokic, who's capable of bringing the ball up. What happened when Jokic and Jamal Murray ran into LeBron and AD? Because you got Jokic on the list, you don't have LeBron or AD on your list, you have Jokic. They lost in five.
Because they was injured. Because they've been injured a major part of the season, Max. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the most terrifying players of all time.
You're saying LeBron
We're
and AD.
About this season.
You're talking about LeBron and AD. Okay, that's fair enough. If you want to take LeBron off the list because he's missed time, then take KD off too. He missed time too. Oh, because he's playing right now? So we're just dealing with the players who are active, what, tonight, last night? What's the criteria?
I mean, the criteria is what I said. What have you done for me lately? Right now, when you think of players KD has been back for about a month. What do you mean?
So what? So they need to be back playing for like a month to do it? I'll look at your list again. You want me to take Harden and Dame and LeBron off the list then, right? If you're judging it just from the last couple of weeks, maybe I don't have a problem with your list. If it's a couple of weeks.
I have a problem with your list. That's what I have a problem with. The fact that you're arguing the most terrifying player is a guy that you just said that's on the decline. That I still cannot get past.
To you, he is. To Perk, he is. to the players in the league he is, according to you guys.
We're not as smart.
You guys are so terrified if you're opponents of LeBron. You so believe in LeBron that even if he says, I'm never going to be 100% again, and this year he's had a hard time staying on the court, you guys are still like, you're crazy to believe it. 36 years old, most minutes in history as the best player ever. And you're still like, no, he'll do it forever.
I just only believe half of what I see and none of what I hear. But I don't know. That's how I was raised. Hey, Molly Karam here. And thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. And you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee. You skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. And this week's cover of The New Yorker, basketball in New York City is at... That is so disrespectful. Are you seeing that cover? Are you seeing that? The Nets are giant and the Knicks are all small and pathetic. So on Wednesday, Nets superstar James Harden... Stephen A. needs to see this. He would be livid. Nets superstar James Harden reposted and he just cropped them out. He just took them right out of the picture. Kendrick Perkins back here with us. Perk, you got us? Oh, my goodness. Okay, cool. Max, I'm going to start with you. Do you think the Nets big three should be threatened by this Knicks team? They made me ask it.
No, seriously, is that the topic?
Yeah, that's the topic. No, they really are. They're fourth in the standings. They really are winning.
See, think about it. If you would have said, should the Nets be threatened by the Knicks? Okay, because of injuries, maybe, you know, KD and Kyrie alone, because the Knicks are a scrappy team, they play defense. But once you say the big three, you mean it's implied that they're all playing. So let me get this straight. Should Kyrie, KD, and James Harden, who, mind you, hasn't played a lot with both of the other guys together, James Harden, who's 27-7, without playing with the other two altogether, he should feel threatened by the Knicks? James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and KD together will not be threatened by the Sixers, the Bucks, the Lakers, the Jazz, the Suns, the Clippers, by no one. No one will threaten them. And by that, I mean no one will take them seven games. No one goes the distance if they're healthy. Once you say the big three, implicit in that statement is they are healthy. No. The New York Knicks, the tough, scrappy, easy to root for New York Knicks, have absolutely zero chance to beat the Nets in the playoffs. In fact, Perk, if I could go into the negative numbers with percentages, I would do it.
You know, Max, it really disappoints me that you come on here and you really have the audacity to laugh at the New York Knicks. Now, I know you have a personal beef with James Dolan, and I get it, right? But you got to give credit when credit is due, okay? And when you look at the Knicks, all right, they don't have a lot of household names, and I get it. But they are playing some fantastic basketball. And not only should the Nets be threatened by the Knicks, but every team in the Eastern Conference should be threatened by the New York Knicks. When you look at the Knicks roster, okay, they have an MVP candidate in Julius Randle, who's giving you 25 a night, 10 rebounds along with almost 7 assists. You have RJ Barrett, who has stepped up tremendously, found his rhythm, found his mojo, his swagger. You have shooting and Reggie Bullock, who's not a household name, but he's getting the job done. And then you have a former MVP who could have made the All-Star team last year, who's coming in off your bench, and Derrick Rose, a guy that teams still today struggle to guard. He just dropped 25. And then you have an unsung hero that's anchoring the defense in the middle, Nerlens Noel. And you know what? When you go and look at the defensive ratings and defensive rankings and numbers with all across the NBA, Nerlens Noel ranks up there with the best of them. And then you have Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau, one of the best defensive-minded coaches to ever coach the damn game of basketball, that has got these guys tied on the string, knows every single tendency that every player in the NBA has, knows how to guard people, knows how to send traps at this way, know how to help the helper, coverages, et cetera, et cetera. He is a defensive genius when it comes to breaking down film and putting guys in position to be successful. So for you to come up here and disrespect the Knicks and say that they have a zero chance at beating the Nets and anybody else in the Eastern Conference, you're basically telling me that you're just going off of the high-profile names and not actually watching the game. And I get it. You might not watch the Knicks because of your beef with James Dolan, but this team is there. This team is really like that.
You win 12 out of 13 games. You're very good. I gave the Knicks credit. They're also easy to root for in spite of James Dolan. They're an easy team to root for. I'm not downing them. Let me ask you a question. The Knicks are about to play the Nets in the playoffs. The Nets are healthy. The big three is all, they're all playing. How many games does that series go?
It goes 6 or 7, easy.
7?
Easy.
I don't think it goes 6, but I can guarantee you that doesn't go 7 games. No one's going the distance with these Nets if the Nets are all healthy.
You know what? Let me give you a prime example of something real quick. You remember when the Lakers had Kobe Bryant, Shaq, Karl Malone, Gary Payton? You remember when they had the star-studded team? And you remember who beat them? A team that nobody picked.
In fact, that's not true.
A team that picked them, a team that beat them, nobody picked them to win the championship.
That's not true. I had a national show at the time called IMAX.
I'm not saying
I
Max,
picked the Pistons Max, to sweep the Max, Lakers that year.
Max,
I was surprised
Max,
the Lakers got one from the Pistons.
And you know what, Max? That makes it even worse that you're coming on here saying this about the Knicks.
No.
Because the Pistons that year, they were the underdogs like no other. And I'm not saying you didn't say it, but the world thought it. Everyone thought that the Lakers had this wrapped up. And what did the Pistons do with Chauncey Billups, Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, Ben Wallace, the ultimate underdog? They went into L.A. and they put Karl Malone and Shaq over their lap and gave them a spanking.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference. That Lakers team was overrated based on the names. Shaq postponed surgery on his toe. He was clearly not the same player. They were struggling with inferior teams who were missing some players in the Western Conference. Meantime, the Detroit Pistons were clearly, to me, the greatest team in the history of American team sports defensively. I thought that was the best defensive team I'd ever seen. They were historically great in one area, and the Lakers were compromised. But this question suggests that the big three are all healthy. When it was just Harden and KD or Harden and Kyrie, no one could beat them.
Max, do you realize that it's only about 8 games left in the season? Mm-hmm. We don't know if James Harden is coming back. The chemistry looks off. And I'm not saying that when James Harden get back, we understand that the Brooklyn Nets could score with the best of them, okay? And they should, right, with that big three. But on the defensive side of things, they are Swiss cheese. You can get whatever the hell you want. And since you brought up the Detroit Pistons that year and where they was ranked defensively, the New York Knicks are ranked number one defensively right now.
Not all time. No one could score 70 points against the Pistons that year. 70. They're routinely holding
the league
team
was
under
different,
70.
Matt.
70. Now, I get it. This Knicks team's not as good defensively as that Detroit team. Here's the bottom line. You'd be right about chemistry if I hadn't just seen a fat, out-of-shape James Harden show up in Brooklyn already, having not played
right,
with these guys and destroyed the league.
I wanted to look at that New Yorker cover again, but I don't think we have time because it's the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
You know why I love our next guest? Not just because he's a beast on the field, but he's authentic and he will tell folks how he feels. Richard Sherman,
Smart guy, one of the greatest.
Joining us on behalf of Enthusiast Gaming, we will get into that in just a bit. Richard, thank you so much for being with us. We've been looking forward to this chat all show.
I appreciate you having me, man. I'm looking forward to it, too. It's been a while.
Yes,
Richard, we know normally you're the shy, retiring type, but this time, don't hold back with your opinions. Even if it might be controversial, I think it's okay.
Right, right. Usually I'm reserved, you know what I mean? I don't want to stir the pot or
ruffle feathers. Perfect show for you. Is right here. All right, let's start with you. So I've heard you've had conversations with Pete Carroll. You are a free agent. Correct me if I'm wrong. What do you think about a return to Seattle like the good old days, Legion of Boom style?
Well, it would be a little different than the good old days. You know, there's two people that aren't here from Legion of Boom. But, you know, it's always in the cards. I spend my entire offseason in Seattle. That's where I live. That's where my family is. So it's never out of the cards. You know, obviously, Pete and I have had conversations throughout the offseason. It just, everything needs to shake out right. They're still figuring things out. I'm still figuring things out. But it's definitely not out of the cards. You know, it's no bad blood there between them and I. And it's a cool opportunity.
Richard, I imagine at this point in your career, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're looking to join a team that is on the precipice, you might feel, of winning a Super Bowl, at least competing for one, in a market you might want to live. And a lot of people are thinking about the New Orleans Saints for you. Mm. How would you see yourself fitting in on that defense and in that town?
Well, obviously, Chris Richard being there makes a huge difference for me. But they just drafted a corner in the third round, Paulson, Adebo, and you know, they've had a great secondary for a while. You know, I don't think they get enough credit. Their defensive line with Cam Hayward, Cam Jordan. Don't get mad at me, Cam. They've been a fantastic defense for a long time, so I think it'd be a, you know, hand-in-glove fit. They run a great scheme. They're in a really tough competitive division. I mean, almost all the divisions in the NFC are pretty competitive these days. But I think it'd be a fit. I just don't think they have the need that people think they do.
Outside of Seattle and New Orleans, any other squads you have your eye on where you'd like to play?
There's always a chance it could end up working out back in the Bay. And I head back that way. You know, that's another place I'm really comfortable going. Obviously, know the staff, know the team well. Just spent time there and would be ecstatic, you know, if something happened there. But, you know, they have a situation. But it's one of those things that will happen probably late or during the season, if it happens at all.
Richard, how do you see your, whether or not you go back to the Bay, you've just been there, how do you see the situation with Trey Lance and Jimmy G playing out in San Francisco?
I see it playing out exactly like Kyle said it would. I see Jimmy G being a starter. He has a fantastic grasp of the offense. He knows the team. He has respect of his men. He's already led them to a Super Bowl. I see Trey learning behind him. And if something crazy happens, you know, and Jimmy gets banged up or something like that, I think they'd be really comfortable putting Trey in there and letting him, you know, learn the offense and letting him get his reps. But I don't think they want to throw him in the fire if they don't have to.
Richard, I'm just curious as to your opinion of this. Why does it seem like Jimmy G, if he's so easy to replace, why is it that you win 3 out of every 4 games you play with him and lose 3 or 4 out of every 4 or 5 games you play without him, right? So why do you think it is that the opinion of Jimmy G nationally seems to be much lower than the reality of his effect on the offense?
That's a great question. I wish I knew. I think people just, in every offense, they blame the system when he has success. You know, when he was in New England, it was like Belichick. It's the system. You know, he's winning because it's Belichick. And then he gets here, and then they're like, it's Kyle. It's the system. You know, that's why he's winning. He's not doing anything special. He's just hitting the open man. He's just reading the defense and taking what the defense gives him. And that may be true, but then you see other quarterbacks in the offense, mm-hmm. in Kyle's system, not as effective, not as efficient. And you're like, maybe he's something special. You know, maybe there's something to him being really effective at what he does, being really fast in his mind and able to read defenses and diagnose things really quickly. And I don't think he gets enough credit. And I think it's just people wanting to downplay his talent, wanting to downplay him. And regardless of what he does, you know, he took a team to a Super Bowl and they're like,
yeah.
Well, it wasn't him that took him. It was the defense. It was the D-line. It was Mostert. It was Debo. It was this, you know, and there. Yeah, I think some players just get that rep and can never shake it.
Yeah, but he didn't stop them, right? He didn't create errors, so there's that too. Other quarterbacks can do that. Let's get to another quarterback situation, the hot topic we're going to be talking about quite a bit. I want your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. I've got two questions for you. I want to start with this. As one of the best, as a veteran player, you can relate. Do you think he's being disrespected by Green Bay?
100%. 100%, no question. He's been getting disrespected by Green Bay for a while. You know, I mean, he's got a fantastic, probably one of the best receivers in football and will be for a long time in Devontae Adams. And they don't give him much else outside of that. You know, they got a running game. They got great running backs. But outside of that, he's looking for a true number two receiver. And, you know, he's done it with whatever they've given him. But it's not like you've seen, hey, man, the Packers have taken 2 first-round receivers and 2 first-round linemen, and they're really trying to get A-Rod what he needs. Or they've taken a huge free agency signing and gave him somebody else special. You don't see that a lot of times. And you see him still having an MVP season. You see him draft his replacement last year. And there's no problem with that. I don't think he's really that as irked about that as people think. But I think there is a disrespect when you say, hey, we got your replacement sitting here and you just had an MVP season, mm-hmm. and we're just supposed to think everything's cool. Yeah. You know, as a player, he literally can do nothing else. And you hear people talking about, hey, he needs to prove it again. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need to prove anything. He just was MVP for the third time this decade. And I don't think people are giving him enough credit for that. You know, he's taking his team to, I don't know, 4 or 5 NFC championships this decade. Yeah. And you're not seeing him getting the credit he deserves. Obviously, you know, the older quarterbacks get, the older players get, the less respect and admiration they get from their franchises. But I think at this point he's had enough, and he probably wants a change of scenery, or, you know, they better up that extension and show him the respect that way.
Sherm, if you're him, what are you doing? Are you staying in Green Bay? Would you sit out? Where would you want to play? How would you handle it?
I think it's tough now, you know, because the draft has passed and mm-hmm. an opportunity to go to a contender, you know, to a San Francisco or a situation where it could be really good and really cool. I think Washington will be a really cool opportunity to have a D-line and a defense in place and some playmakers on the outside that he could do something with. But I think it's the opportunity to do that is kind of passed. I hear people talking about Denver, but that's a really tough division to go into. Yeah, obviously, you work for the Packers. I'm not sure they have the capital to get it done. But I just don't see a situation where he could go and be in a better situation at this point after the draft, post-draft, than he could in Green Bay. And that's the unfortunate part. So, I mean, I don't see him sitting out because, shoot, he's coming off an MVP season. I've never heard of anybody sitting out after an MVP season. But I think he definitely is going to ruffle some feathers. Maybe he shows up to camp late. Maybe he acts like he's going to miss a game. I don't know. But I think he's definitely not done with with showing his how disgruntled he is.
I mean, you can't win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who don't want to be there. Green Bay's got to know. They got to trade him. I mean, I want to ask you about Nashawn Wright, the cornerback that the Cowboys took, and you responded to him with a meme because he said he sees himself as a more, what was it?
More agile
yeah. and athletic yeah. Richard Sherman. What do you think about that?
I just got a good laugh out of it, man. It was just funny. I mean, every year you see something or you hear something or the NFL does the 40-yard dash and they do the ghosts, you know, of the kids yeah. running way faster than you, and then they do the ghost of me behind them. You know, so it's just another thing to laugh at. The kid actually reached out, and we had a nice message exchanged. You know, a lot of respect mutually. You know, if he ever needs anything from me, I'm happy to help him. You know, obviously I know the scheme he's going into, and I know it really well, but it's just one of those things where you just, you know, kids being kids, I guess. But I got a good laugh out of it. That's been the rhetoric my whole career. You know, everybody's
more athletic.
Well, without
the agility or athleticism, Richard Sherman, you must have a lot of wisdom to impart because you're getting it done somehow.
Got that Super
Right, right, right. I'm finding a way. I'm you know, sabotaging them somewhere. I'm tying their cleats together or something. You know, I'm getting it done.
The meme was good. It was fun. All right, give me all the details about this new venture because I don't know much about the gaming world, so talk to me.
Hey, Molly, you might need to get in it. You might need to figure it out because gaming world is changing. Just like cryptocurrency, there's so many things, electric vehicles, there's so many things that are forward thinking and moving forward. And this enthusiast is at the forefront of gaming, and they have the platform with 300 million users a month checking in on this platform in an industry that is supposed to go past 300 billion by the end of next year. It's you know, nobody thought video games would ever be this big, that people mm-hmm. would ever pay people to play them or give college scholarships for people to play video games, but they are. And enthusiasts is trying to change the gaming world in totality. You know, there's so many things they have in the works that are going to make a huge impact on this gaming world that I'm looking forward to seeing. But I'm happy to be a part of this company because they're the fastest growing, just got listed on the NASDAQ. And it's going to be exciting going forward.
Sounds like an agile athletic company to me.
My goodness. Richard Sherman, cut from a different cloth. I like it. Thank you so much for the time. Come back and join us again. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks, Max, Molly.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. In the NFL, it's clear now that future Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. Take a listen to what his predecessor Brett Favre had to say on Tuesday on his podcast.
Knowing Aaron, and I think I know him fairly well, if he has a grudge, whether it be against the organization or a player or an arch rival or family, friends, he ain't budging. I don't see him coming back and saying if it's not resolved, or even if it's resolved, but he feels like they got one up on him, he ain't gonna play. Knowing Aaron, he would sit.
Oh, and I got more good stuff for you. Our Rob Domofsky tweeting this, a conversation with Favre and Rodgers. Favre said he sent Rodgers a text. I said, hey, I'm going to see you playing for the Saints this year. Just joking. He said, Rodgers replied, hey, buddy, I don't believe that's going to happen. Thanks for checking on me. I'll touch base with you after this is all over. He should have followed up and said, when is it going to be all over? But I don't know if he did that. He's not all nosy like I am. RC, hi, how we doing?
Hey, Molly, how you doing?
I'm good. All right, Max, is trading Rodgers the only option left for Green Bay?
Yes, unless they want to make him the highest guaranteed paid player in the history of the NFL. Maybe he changes mind. I think it's a little more about business than even Aaron Rodgers realizes. Because when they don't make you an offer like that, when they put a number on your value, and it's not what you think it is, that could turn personal for a player, not just all the stuff we hear about, well, they don't want it, you know, they don't want his input. But let me tell you something. This is the real reason they're going to have to trade him, Ryan, because Dan Gilbert found this out about LeBron James once upon a time. And the quarterback position is so important in football right now that the very few of the best in the sport are like NBA superstars now. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
They're the boss. The owner of the team only thinks they're the boss. And if they haven't gotten up to speed yet, they haven't realized it yet, they soon will realize in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is the boss, as in he gives you orders and you follow them. And I don't mean or else. I mean you have no choice. You will follow the order. What does that mean? He's going to tell you where to trade him, and you will trade him to exactly that place. Why? Because look at James Harden and the Rockets, right? Remember when they thought they could control? No. James Harden was only ever going to get traded to the exact place he wanted. Because when you are a superstar who has so much control over the fortunes of a team, no one's going to give up the farm to get you, which is what it's going to cost, if you don't really want to be there, especially in a full contact sport like football, where the leader has to be all in to lead the troops. He's got to be all in. He can't have one foot in and one foot out. Everyone in the NFL knows this. Just some front offices that are caught up in the way it used to be done. By the way, before the quarterback was as important as he is now, before you had players like Rodgers and Mahomes, and yes, Tom Brady, when it was players have to know their place, they're all interchangeable. Their thinking just hasn't caught up. But Aaron Rodgers is going to do what James Harden do. Here's the teams or team I want to be traded to. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. You let the league know, no, I don't want to go to you. I don't want to go to you. I don't want to go to you. You're going to have to trade how many first-round picks to get him? You think you're going to do that if he doesn't want to be there? You think the Green Bay Packers are going to make him give back the $30 million guaranteed that you owe us, Rodgers? I dare you to do it. Okay, fine. So he shows up to training camp. He shows up wherever. But you think you're going to win a Super Bowl with that guy? You know you're not. So instead of spinning your wheels, you might as well come to the realization now that Aaron Rodgers is the boss, and you will do eventually exactly what he tells you, Green Bay Packers.
You know what? I don't disagree with some of what you said. You know, I said earlier this morning that if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm not trying to fix my relationship with the Green Bay Packers so I can play for the Green Bay Packers again. I'm trying to fix my relationship with them enough so that when we do get divorced, I'm going to try to put you in the best situation to succeed. I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to be broke. I don't want you to be downtrodden. I just want you to live life without me, and then I want to go to the place that best suits me, whether it's Denver, whether it's Miami, all those things. But that's with us having the understanding that the Green Bay Packers actually agreed to trade him. Because what is not like the NBA is that the NFL has been and is going to be the last sport to ever come to the conclusion that the players have control. Right? The separation in the NFL of ownership and labor, to me, is the largest gap of any of the major sports. They haven't come around to you control us. They haven't come around to we are going to do what you want to do because it's in the best interest of us. That's not the way it works. See, the Green Bay Packers aren't going to be the Houston Rockets. They aren't going to go from a team that last year had championship aspirations to now you get rid of James Harden and you have John Wall and you have these guys and you can't compete. The Green Bay Packers aren't going to accept that. So what Aaron Rodgers is going to have to do, you're going to have to force me to let you go. You're not only going to have to pack your bags, you're not only going to have to buy you a new apartment or get you a new house, you're going to have to go stay in that house. You're going to have to go to a place apart from us and not do what you love. Because see, Brett Favre talked about the way Aaron Rodgers is with other players on his team. And he talked about the way he could be with family and friends. That's not an organization because you don't have contractual control. You are not the big bank in this situation. So it's going to be, am I going to put my feelings and my personal feelings over my legacy? Am I willing to sit out at 38 and hope that at 39 I'm the same player I was at 37 in Green Bay with Devontae Adams? You, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I don't care what Aaron Rodgers says. It's going to be about his actions. You can say you're going to leave. You can say you're going to do all these things. You can say you're going to stay home. But until you do, until you miss games, until you miss game checks, until you start giving me money back, and not just for a week, but for a month, and for a month after that, you are not getting traded if I'm the Green Bay Packers.
Well,
you're going to stand pat?
Ryan,
you're going to be petty? I'm going to be pettier.
I hear what you're saying, and you have to have the courage of your convictions if you're Aaron Rodgers, and he has options. He can go do other things, not just play football. But my point is, I think the Green Bay Packers are going to come to the realization eventually that if he doesn't want to be there, so he don't even have to sit out. Show up. How are you going to win a Super Bowl with a quarterback as important to the fortunes of his franchise as Aaron Rodgers is if he doesn't really want to be there? Because Patrick Mahomes wants to be
Max,
where he is. Tom Brady wants to be where he is. You can't.
Max, football ain't first take, bro. Like the other day, yesterday, James emailed me and he called me RD. He hit the wrong button. If I was mad at James and I wanted to come on the show and not talk, that's gonna hurt me, but not physically, right? I'm not gonna be out there and it's not gonna hurt my legacy per se. I just won't come on First Take anymore. If you go out and play football, unless Aaron Rodgers is gonna say, I'm gonna come to work every day, but I'm not gonna walk onto the field, he is putting himself at danger. You can't do football halfway like that. So it's either he stays home and he faces the consequences of staying home, right? Or he's going to come to work, and 90% or 85% of Aaron Rodgers is better than every quarterback in the world but Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
That's how they're
going to go play.
I hear you, Ryan, but they have Super Bowl aspirations for good reason. They were right there last year, right? They were right there. Maybe if he doesn't take the ball out of Rodgers' hands, we've seen Rodgers perform miracles before, right? Maybe they win that game, and without an offensive line, I don't think that Mahomes and the Chiefs could have beaten them. They came very close, actually, closer than people realize. And when you're that close to winning a Super Bowl, is it enough for their front office right now to think, we just want to compete, or are they trying to win? If you bring back an old guy who doesn't want to be there, I don't think you're going to win.
Answered that. If it comes back to that point, he's a professional and he's going to play.
Playing and winning are two different things, Molly.
No, but he's going to win. He's going to be Aaron Rodgers and Chubb. I have two questions for you.
Yep. Okay. Go ahead, Molly. Yep.
Two questions I want to ask you because we haven't talked about it on the show and I'm seeing it on Twitter and I think Diana Rossini brought it up. How much clout do you give to this? So Aaron Rodgers got engaged to an actress, Shailene Woodley. They've been spending the offseason in her house in Colorado. I mean, do you connect? Does that do anything for you? Tell me. You're a player. You have a family. You have a wife that he might actually want to be on the Broncos. Does that mean anything to you?
You know what? It doesn't mean as much as people are going to make it seem. Right.
Okay.
Obviously, it would be easy. It would be easy to be in a place she's comfortable with. But listen, when you're an actress and you've been in The Fault in Our Stars and all of these different great movies that I enjoy, you can live wherever the hell you want because you got dope. And when your future husband has the type of dough Aaron Rodgers has, you can live wherever you want. I mean, Giselle lived in New England and she's lived in Tampa. And she got more bank than everybody. And so I don't think that necessarily means that Denver is the place for him. What's more attractive about Denver than his fiance is Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Hamler, and Javonte Williams.
Facts.
And a top 10 defense. That's probably
why he wants
to go to that place more so than his house.
But Ryan, that's the point. First of all, the Packers, I believe, are going to come to the realization, as I just argued, that they have to trade Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you want to trade him in the NFC if you can help it. Right? And it's not impossible, but I think you're probably
right. No, I think Denver's the place.
Right. So
what about
you
the Texans? Don't they need a quarterback? I don't think Deshaun Watson. What about the Texans?
Why would Aaron Rodgers want to go to a franchise that doesn't have anything right now? Right? It's upside down.
Well, they need a quarterback.
That's my point. You look at the conference, AFC. You look at who might be able to swing a trade, Denver. You look at the market where a guy might want to play, Denver. You look at a team that would be ready to maybe win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. I think you have to consider them the overwhelming front runners to get him, right? Right? Unless...
No, I think everybody feels that.
Unless... the Packers love Trey Lance. I wouldn't rule out San Francisco.
Did you just come up with that or you heard that?
No, me. Just I haven't heard anything.
Okay. Interesting. All right. I got one.
Actually
more
said it this morning on Get Up.
Oh, there we go. It's no secret.
I tweeted it out the night of the draft.
Oh, check the receipts.
I got receipts. Night of the draft.
It's no secret that the Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf is a fast man. Soon he will be testing that speed against sprinters. The USA Track and Field website has Metcalf listed. He called you out as a participant in the Golden Games in Distant Open this Sunday. Max, like, love, or hate Metcalf running in the 100-meter dash at USA Track and Field event?
Love this. Like, whatever his measured 40 time is, you know, like, I talk about Kadarius Toney, the Giants draft pick. I know he doesn't have the fastest 40. That's the fastest dude I've seen. Like, I don't know what the 40 says. I just know that dude is fast. And Metcalf, the long-legged dudes, they need a little time. Like, their time in the 100 is going to be better than their time in the 40. And you ask Buda Baker. I know he's a safety, but remember how he chased him down? Like, look at this. You give Metcalf not just 40, but the whole field to catch you? Ooh, I'd love to see him in the 100.
The 100, I'd love to see him in the 100 against other football players. We are fooling ourselves if we think he's going to be anywhere in the vicinity of these dudes, the Christian Colemans of the world. That's what they do, bro. Like, Metcalf is a fast football player. These other dudes are just flat out the fastest humans in the world. Sometimes you ain't gotta go prove it. Like, I think I can play basketball, but I'm not going hoop with real hoopers. I'm gonna hoop with other people like me, 40-year-olds that wear on cloud shoes because they're comfortable all day. I'm not getting out there racing fast people.
I got a way to fix that.
You better stay, train wherever you're training, and leave that junk alone.
I got a way to fix that. Okay. Just throw the ball, get the machine to throw it 100 yards, 100 meters, and make him go catch it. He'll go get it before anyone else.
Well, you better not put Jalen Ramsey in front of him because he ain't going to get to that one either.
You're wrong for that. RC, Max, good stuff. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Thanks for hanging
with us. Good talking to y'all.